lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, the church and politics. Some Christians shy away from that term, the church and politics. But you and I, as the saved people of God, we need to stand up for what's right in this world. And standing up for the right means we're standing up for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're standing up for the right of individuals to worship, to serve God the way that He has intended. He has set up government in this world for people, for us. And we're studying this as we go along. We're going to see different things concerning the church and politics. Remember, the building is not the church. We who are saved, we make up the bride of Christ. We are the church. We're the called out ones. And as the called out ones, we need to be serving the Lord. And we need to be standing up for the right of individuals, the right of God to be broadcast throughout this world. And we have in this country, the United States of America, we have a great opportunity to continue on to tell others about Jesus Christ, at least for right now. We're not restricted, at least for right now. But unless we get busy for our Lord and Savior, unless we get busy and start understanding that Christians need to be in government, that they need to be there, letting people know what is right and what is wrong. So many people have lost a sight of what is right and what is wrong. Now, last time we talked about people being apathetic. That's just letting things go. Just say, oh, well, it is what it is. And so let's just let it go. Well, that's not the attitude that God has given us as saved people. We're to stand up for biblical principles. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We need to quit worrying about being persecuted and start concerning ourselves with those people who are being persecuted. Pray for them. Pray for the people who are being persecuted for the cause of Christ. And there, it's happening even in our country. And those of us who are not being persecuted, we need to stand up. But don't think it odd if you come under persecution for speaking up for the Lord Jesus Christ, for standing on a street corner and telling people that Jesus saves, for standing somewhere and just bowing your head in prayer. Don't be surprised if someone comes along and tries to arrest you for that. Now, it's not happening that much right now, I do not believe. It's happening, though, and we need to stand up for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the most important person we need to be standing up for is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let's look at some other things about the church and politics. And let me ask you today, are you living a godly life in Christ Jesus? Are you standing up for godly living? Are you giving in to the worldly pressure to be like the world, leaving the godly principles as set down by God in His Word? See, many Christians today appear to be no different from those who have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Well, God says we are different. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Luke chapter 14 and verse 34 says, salt is good. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? If we're not standing up for what is right in this country, then we've lost the savor. We've lost the ability. We've lost the vision of standing up for what is right and standing against what is wrong. Well, the church and politics. You and I, as Christians, should have the same desire as David had in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 16, where it says, "And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces." We need to fall on our face today to the Lord and say, "Oh God, help our country, help our people. Help, Lord, people to know you as Lord and Savior. And then, Lord, help our country to be a Christian country." Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 11 says, "Then contended I with the rulers and said, Why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place." We need more men of God who are willing to stand up and say, "Why is the house of God forsaken? Why aren't people doing what they're supposed to be doing as the children of God?" And we have someone to blame today. If we have that person, then it's us. It's the church. It's the people of God. We've let down. We're not serving God the way we're supposed to be serving God. And we need to get busy for the Lord. And let Him lead and guide us. And let Him make this country a country where we can say it is a Christian country. Well, notice some reasons why some churches do not mention politics. You see, some people believe it's wrong. Well, many churches are afraid to discuss controversial issues for fear of losing their tax-exempt status. They would be willing to do anything other than lose that money that's coming in. Well, what churches are allowed to talk about while retaining their tax exemptions is widely misunderstood by pastors. Many pastors are ignorant of what they can say and what they can do. And we're going to look at some political things pastors can speak about as we continue our study of the church and politics. See, some pastors are afraid of offending people and losing numbers. Not only are they afraid of losing their tax-exempt 501c3, they're afraid of offending people and losing numbers. We need to say it like it is, call it like it is. It's black and white. If pastors are afraid of losing numbers for speaking the truth, then they would refuse to allow Jesus to preach because thousands left him after some hard sayings. John chapter 6 and verse 66 says this, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Why? Because he told them the truth. And we need to tell the truth today. Pastors need to stand up, not concern themselves with numbers of people, but stand up and tell the truth for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's simply a fallacy to believe that by avoiding the tough questions or controversial issues, one is less likely to offend and therefore keep the pews full. The reality is this. One is more likely to view the church as irrelevant and out of touch with the questions people are asking if we don't address them, if we don't stand up and say it like it is. Think about this, if you would. Dealing with issues is actually part of the equipping process for Christians. One person has said this, "If Christianity dies in America, it will not be for a lack of evidence of its truthfulness. It will be for a lack of dissemination," that means spreading, "of the evidence of its truthfulness." We need to stand up for the truth and do what is right. Church people have been taught it is wrong to even mention politics in connection with Christianity. If speaking about politics in the Christian realm is wrong, then Jesus was wrong. In Luke chapter 20, verse 25, and Mark chapter 12 and verse 17, Jesus used the word render. Luke chapter 20 and verse 25. "And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things that which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's." Mark chapter 12 and verse 17. "And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." and they marveled at him. Render. It means to put somebody or something in a particular state, to make somebody or something be or become something, submit something for action, to submit something for consideration. Paul the Apostle, not only did Jesus Christ believe in doing what is right, and not only did Jesus Christ use the word render, but Paul the Apostle also uses the word render in Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. It says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. This nation, at its highest level, has taken a position against God. Such blasphemous rebellion is energized. It is energized by the corruption of the collection of sinful hearts which make up this nation or any nation. Now, there's no question about that. But behind that collection of sinful, corrupt human hearts that make this kind of thing possible and acceptable is the realm of Satan and demons. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2 says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We need to stand up for God and not for Satan. We need to walk according to God, not according to what Satan says. Shatter the family, destroy the family, and the small sovereign barrier is disintegrated. We've talked about that, how that the devil is trying to destroy the family. He's destroying babies. He's been doing that for some time now. He's killing babies, butchering them, slaughtering them, and now same-sex marriage has come into the realm and other things that's happening to the family. The goal in all of this is that is elimination of God's plan for marriage between a man and a woman when we think of same-sex marriage, the family. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. How in the world are we going to reproduce mankind with a man and a man, so-called getting married? How are we going to reproduce mankind with so-called a woman and another woman being so-called married, joined together? You say, well, the woman can have something done and receive something done, and she can have a baby. That is not God's plan. God's plan said it's to be a man and a woman. Genesis chapter 2 and verses 22 and 23. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. A woman not changed into a man not changed into a woman, and there's no such thing. A woman is a woman, and a man is a man. Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 and 6 through 6. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? That's God making them. And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. In other words, man is never to change God's plan for a man and woman. Stand up today for what is right. Do what is right. And God will bless you as you stand for Him. He'll bless our country when we stand up for Him.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.